everybody, welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is episode 96.
96?
You know what? What's funny is I just got done saying before you hit record what number it was. My confidence level was high. And then I go fuck it up.
Well, see, I'm 96 is like two people that were gonna 69, but now they're mad at each other. So they got their backs to each other. So
yeah, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah. So welcome everybody to Drunk on Comics. In case you can't tell by all the loud ambiance in here, we are back at one of our favorite watering holes this weekend. My name is Derek.
My name is Kevin.
And Tony and Matt are off doing whatever it is that they do.
Yeah, and we thought, hey, it's just the two of us. Let's just kick back, grab some books, grab some beers at a local watering hole.
Kind of take it back to the roots of where this whole damn podcast started, really.
Really, and actually, this is the place that where it really started, because we were brainstorming ideas.
Yep.
For names and
brainstorming ideas for names, brainstorming what we wanted to talk about. I mean, there was actually a lot of stuff that was originally brought up that never made it into the format of the show, and I'm okay with that.
There was stuff that did make it to the show, but didn't sustain for very long.
Yeah.
Like how many collecting tips? Can you imagine if we had 100 collecting tips? And we did one show.
Yeah, well, see, I think we got a little bit off on, like, maybe we got a little too ambitious.
Yeah,
but
we did.
But then again,
so, like, you know what? We probably could have done it. Like, we could have offered people tips on how to modernize their Access database.
Yeah.
Remember Access?
No.
Oh, me and my nerdy friends, we were reminiscing about Access. It's basically it's a fancy spreadsheet.
Okay.
And Access. If you know what it is, look it up. It's laughable that it was actually popular. It might still be popular, but
yeah, I know Access Hollywood. Is that the same?
I get a guilty pleasure for you, Derek. Actually, okay. I watch that show occasionally.
Really?
Access Hollywood, yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm embarrassed now.
Yeah, you should be. all right, guys. Well, this is Drunk on Comics, our weekly podcast where we talk about comics and conventions and industry news. And once upon a time, we talked about collecting tips. And but overall, we're just gonna have a little fun. We're gonna talk about some books that came out this week.
Yeah, right on, man. Right on. And in the segment we call Off the Shelf.
Yep.
And who is it brought to us by this week, Derek?
It is brought to us once again by Motor City Comic Con, which is happening May 16th through the 18th in Novi, Michigan at the Suburban Collection Showplace. You can check them out online at www. Do I still have to say that?
I like to say the tri-dub.
Tri-dub, yeah. Yeah. Tri-dub dot Motor City Comic Con.
I don't think anyone says tri-dub.
I remember when I first met, you were really trying to get the 2K14 and like the 2K.
I still rent my ears with the K. There's no point in it.
Fetch is not going to happen, Kevin. So yeah, go check out MotorCityComicCon.com and you'll see the entire list of guests, both media and comics, and you'll see our name on there because we're going to be there. So
yeah, hell yeah, man! I'm super stoked for a good time in Detroit, Rock City.
Yeah.
So
Kevin, what did you read this week,
dude? You know, because we talked about this at length. You might be more excited than I am about this comic.
You just totally let people behind the curtain. I'm like, what'd you read this week? And you're like, you already know. We already talked about it. Now they're going to know that this isn't quite as natural as maybe they'd hoped, but oh well.
God. Dude, but that's not true, because I think every week for the last forever, I think I mentioned pre-production during every show. It's going to be turned into a new drinking game. How many times is Kevin say that?
Well, I'm drinking again. Cheers.
thank you. What are you drinking, by the way?
Right now, I'm saving what I'm drinking until we get to Booze in a Book.
Okay.
Yeah. So. All
right. Well, fair enough.
No spoilers on Booze in a Book.
Okay.
But there could be spoilers here. So.
Do you have any spoilers today?
To a degree.
Okay. I have a small one coming up here on what I reviewed this week, which is The Field. Number one, and it's a part. It's actually a four-part series coming up, and I didn't know that until I did a little research today. But yep, another number one, but it's only a four-part series, so I'm feeling better about that already. So we have this written and letters by Ed Brisson, art by Simon Ray. And colors by Simon Goh. I had no expectations when I picked this book up. I just saw an interesting cover, and on the cover you have a guy smoking and a guy in a field in his tidy whities
and a biker gang.
See, my thumb was here. I didn't even notice. But. Honestly, yeah, I picked it up for some because the guy's in jockeys.
Yeah,
so that's how I'm picking comic books these days, folks.
Just sex sells, Kevin.
Yeah. So, okay, so what you have going on in this book is literally a guy running through the field in his tidy whities, being chased by a bunch of a gang of guys. Then a stranger appears out of nowhere. That's the guy smoking on the front cover. And he saves this guy that's running naked, half naked through the fields.
Okay.
I'm reading this, and it seems like the first part of this book is taking a lot of beats from the movie Eagle Eye. You remember that movie with your boy? Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, that was the movie where they just kept telling him to do something. And
yeah.
He had to go do it.
You had this mysterious person saying, do this, do that. And at first there were some trust issues, but that mysterious voice got the character in the movie out of that situation. So I didn't know that this was going to be a beat for that, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you have this mysterious stranger come around, pick this guy up, and then it starts another aspect of the story. And that's where it really starts getting batshit crazy. And now here's that spoiler I'm going to be talking about. So when the two get together, and towards the end of the comic, the stranger fucking just goes nuts into such a manner that the community has to go and clean up the mess that he just made.
Oh.
And it also made me feel like this was another movie where you have a community, you know, hot fuds.
I didn't see it.
You didn't? Okay. I'm really stretching for ideas, but where you
and
have
movies today,
yeah, where you have this entire community trying to protect the greater good,
yeah,
and again I'm stretching for ideas and parallels, but it's so good. There's so many places this book can go, and. How they're going to wrap this up in four issues is going to be very interesting. Now, the art here by Simon Ray and Simon Goh is very interesting. Looking through it reminded me a lot of the recent RoboCop series that I read.
Oh, the Frank Miller series from
the
Boom?
Frank Miller series. So, props out to Korkut Ustikin. It's dark and dreary to start, but then a little bit more lighter and vibrant later on. And it has this unique style to it where you have like this jittery lines to draw on all the characters.
Yeah.
It's not distracting, and it's not meant as an insult. It's just a unique art style that was pretty interesting.
Definitely kind of Ray, I think, put his... Was it Ray or Roy? I'm sorry.
It's Roy.
Roy? Okay, sorry. Definitely, you know, he's got his own fingerprint on the style of that book, where it's his own style. It's not anybody else's. So that is actually a nice look there. Although, now that you mentioned Squiggly Line, all I thought of was that Dr. Katz cartoon from years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody had squiggly lines.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. It is Ray... Illustrated by Ray.
Okay.
Ray, not Roy.
It's just a weird font on
Wait, what is that?
That's a Roy.
That's a Roy. Okay, that did say Ray. Yeah. My apologies.
Yeah.
See, yes. Can't read fonts today. Sorry.
Fonts are important.
If it's not Comic Sans, I'm lost.
So, overall, though, well worth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is definitely a nice pickup and 4-issue miniseries all day. At least I know there's an end, and I don't have to worry about giving my PayPal account address to everybody and having to give me donations so I can keep on reading.
Yeah.
So nothing like that. But yeah, no, that's definitely a great title. Derek, what do you got?
I've got Dead Letters. Number one, another number one, from Boom Studios.
Perfect.
And
I'm happy you picked this up because I had my hand on this.
Well, and it's funny because I chose between this and The Field as to which book I was going to pick up, and I chose The Field.
That's funny.
Now, Dead Letters, created and written by Christopher Sabala, art by Chris Visions, colors by Ruth Redman, and letters by Steve Wands, and. The reason, Kevin, I'm going to hand this to you because you didn't get a chance to peek through that, but the reason that I chose this one, why I was only going to pick up one of these, is that in my previews, The Field was described as a man wakes in a field wearing nothing but his underwear. He's got no idea who he is or how he got there. That was what I read on that one. Now, for... this book...
You know what? Thank you for actually mentioning that, because I had that in my notes here, but I totally missed over that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's amnesia and whatnot.
Yeah. So, now this one, the description is, Sam Whistler, who's the main character, wakes up in an unfamiliar motel room, dressed in hospital scrubs and his arms wrapped in bandages. He remembers nothing. Not how he got there, not where he is, not even his own name. So I'm like, I'm not going to pick up two comics that are at least have the same start of this basic premise.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm like, you know, I looked at both of them, and as soon as I saw the artwork in here from Chris Visions, I went, this is the book that I'm taking. Because I was blown away, but I'll get more into that here in a second. One thing I should say about this is that Boom printed 9,500 copies of this, you know, which is not a huge run.
No, you know what? For that seems very small for Boom, because Boom's a national.
Yeah.
And
well, the Walking Dead number one only had 7,000 issues printed, which is one of the reasons why it's in such high demand.
Sure.
Now, so okay. I mean, it's not far off the mark at all. But they sold out all 9,500 copies of Dead Letters. So it's already going to a second print. So if you can run out and grab it...
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. But one of the things that, you know, I wanted to talk about with the artwork of this, I'm going to start with that, is the panel layout and camera angles that were used in this book were just fantastic. And I do... You know, camera angles is always kind of an odd thing when you're talking artwork. But this one fits so well because it literally reads like you're watching a movie. I mean, when you see like the long camera angle shots from below while he's jumping across a building, and you see the progression of the action in here, it really, it's just really, really beautiful on here. The shadows in here are actually one of the things that I really want to give a shout out to, and I don't know if those were drawn in or if they were part of the colors, but they really do add a lot to it. The other thing that Visions that Chris Visions does really well on here when it comes to his artwork is the actual posture of the people and the physicality of them, I guess you'd say, where you see, and there's a couple when you get into it, just the conversations, the way that people sit and they lean forward and they're comfortable. I mean, he really did a good job with the body study on this one, so I wanted to give a huge shout out to the composition on that. As far as the writing, though, in this book, and I'll kind of give you a little bit more of it, but Sam, the main character here, is obviously he was not a good person, and you have these two different groups that are vying for him to do their dirty work, but he doesn't know who he is. He's just trying to go along, trying to figure things out, but he's... The writing in this is so, so brilliant that, like, I could actually, Kevin, I could read this book on the podcast, word for word, and even without the artwork, as beautiful as it is, you would know exactly what's going on. It's written that well. There were a couple little things, you know, that I really loved, like just little lines in here, like where Sam is thinking to himself, "Everything I remember is useless," like running out of a burning house carrying the junk drawer. And it's just a great analogy, you know. And he says, "Still, I cling to it like a rope," you know. And it's just beautifully written. Now, when you put the combination of the writing and the art together in this book, the voices of the individual characters in here are so strong and clear that not only can you, like, intrinsically know who they are, but you can actually hear the cadence of their speech, the timbre of their voice and their speech patterns in your head as you're reading along. I mean, this is one of the best single issues I have read in years. I mean, it's, as far as sequential art and storytelling, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. There's a little thing where he's going on and Sam gets into something and it was a little bit of a shock, and here's a bit of a spoiler. When he shoots people, they don't die. And then the big reveal on the last two pages explains why. And that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I that's in that article I read about the 9500. There was a big, huge... They called it a twist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a twist. So, you know, this is definitely kind of crime noir, you know, or film noir, you know, type feel to it with extra. So... absolutely go buy this book. I was ecstatic reading this one, and like enough to where I'm gonna make you take this home with you and read it.
All right,
because it really should be
good. I'm pretty sure my local place is already sold out of it.
Very likely. So that was my big winner this week.
All right,
off the shelf.
So I have to say it, because I'm just going to regret it if I don't say it on the air, is, now, you're not a big video game guy, so do you ever play the game Crazy Taxi?
No.
Alright, well, I'll continue my thought for those listeners who have played the game Crazy Taxi, is you have the main character...
that, you're talking the scene there, yeah.
Yeah, right here. He is, this main character, he's... standing in front of a taxi reminds me so much of the character in the game B.D. Joe.
Don't know that one either.
Yeah. It's just, in the game you have four playable characters, and one of them's a black guy called B.D. Joe. Now, granted, he's dressed up a lot more exciting
than Scrubs and Bandages.
Scrubs, but I don't know. I just saw it. I just saw a black guy behind a taxi. So...
well, I don't know what that says about you, but let's move on. Kevin,
actually, you know what it means? I've been playing the game too much.
I guess so.
Honestly, I picked it up recently. So,
what else did you read this week?
So I picked up What If Age of Ultron number 1.
How did I know you would pick up a What If?
Yeah, now, for those who are unfamiliar, I don't know why, but Marvel and DC's makes alternate storylines called What If or Else Worlds. I got a major man crush on these alternate reality universes. I think I've mentioned it just as much as I do say pre-production.
Oh, by the way, listeners at home, time to drink.
So obviously it should come up as no surprise that I chose this issue. Now, written by Joe Kiedinge, art by Raphael Enco, colors by Felix Serrano. So last year's Marvel's big event was called Age of Ultron. Didn't know that either.
They called it a big event. I called it a big waste of my money. But
see, why didn't you like it?
The only thing...
I'm not a big Marvel guy, but I enjoyed the series.
I'm a big Marvel guy, and I just thought it was just too far of a stretch, and it was a cash grab, is what it really felt like to me. Rather than feeling like an event, it felt like a cash grab. And I apologize for being a little bit more negative than I normally am, but, you know, I don't know. There was nothing about this story that really drew me in. It's like, hey, we're going to have an event. This might as well be it.
Okay. Is Marvel going to do that every year?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But so if you're not familiar, Age of Ultron, Ultron comes back. He wrecks some shit.
Yeah, he was angry.
Ultron just seems so angry. He's got some daddy issues, literally. So now, this issue, which is the start of a small run of What Ifs involving the Age of Ultron story arc, this issue explores the world of Hank Pym, a.k.a. Giant Man, a.k.a. Ant-Man, a.k.a. too many other names, man.
A.k.a. Wife Beater.
You know, that was actually... I did read... The only Ultimates I ever read was that issue.
Yeah.
That you're talking about, but... Now, what...
I'm just, like, sitting there going, a.k.a., and then and I got stuck on Wife Beater, and now
yeah,
I'm, like, going,
yeah,
Chris Brown? Wait, what? Which, that takes me back to...
Motor City, where the guy, we're having a conversation with the guy at the, on the... we're on, like, on the third floor. We're having a conversation with the guy on the ground floor. And then he's, like, a line cook. And he yells, like, hey, what's Spanish for piñata?
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty much it.
Wait, do we tell people the punchline, or...?
No. No, if they want to hear it, they can go back and listen to that one episode when one very, very short, limited,
our very,
special edition.
Very special Drunken Comics.
Yes, because we were very drunk and very special. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue on with What If, Kevin.
All right. Now, I'm going to go out and just blow my wad and say, the best thing about this book was the very first page.
Whoa, okay.
It's just weird. But the best thing about this book was the commentary on time travel. That's the whole first page.
Interesting.
Now, I'm pretty sure Ant-Man is doing the commentary, but doesn't specifically say. But... of course, I say everything cautionary and with great trepidation.
Yeah.
Because I'm always worried that I'm going to make an ass out of more of an ass out of myself than normal.
You know, at what point, Kevin, are you going to stop worrying about that? We've been doing this for almost 100 episodes plus special editions.
Forever, I guess. Till they bury me in the ground. But in this commentary, they talk about how time is like an organism, and the more you work it, like you, by me, I mean, I work it, I mean like use it, say time travel, the stronger the possibility you have of actually killing it.
Okay.
Now, I don't think I did this commentary justice, but I thought what was written here was the best description of time travel that I've ever read.
Wow.
And, of course, everyone has their own unique take on this fictional thing that could never possibly happen, but it was really one of the best, and I honestly think this commentary would reflect in my own conversations when I talk to people about time travel for the rest of my life.
That's actually saying quite a bit.
Yeah, it is. Well, I never thought of time travel the way they commented on it in this book, which is great.
So now you're making me want to read this.
Honestly, you could just read the first page and be content. But there's more. This whole issue reminded me of a What If comic that I read years ago called, and it was What If number 94. It was called The Kingdom of Cain, but it probably could have been more appropriately called Juggernaut, the Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
Is where you have, and this, basically this whole issue is you have Hank Pym roaming the Earth all alone. There's Ultrons everywhere, but they're just, for the most part, they're kind of just, like, ignoring them. Like,
okay.
You know, whatever. Whatever, it's Dad. His dad is roaming the Earth.
It's like, oh, Dad's outside in his underwear again.
And it's very sad. You're the last person on Earth. Who the fuck are you going to talk to? You're probably going to go insane. Because I go insane if I just a week alone. That would just drive me nuts. But just how he coped with the fact that humanity is extinct, that he's alone,
and that he's kind of the
and he's
the reason for
and
it.
He's the reason. Wow, it is very it's sad. It's a very sad read, but it's a gripping read.
It sounds like it's one of the more eye-opening and kind of, you know, I don't know, one of the few, and I don't mean this in a negative way, because you know I'm a big Marvel fan, but one of the few Marvel books that you're going to read that actually makes you think, rather than just pure escapism and enjoyment.
It could makes you think a little bit, definitely in that first page, but I think the remaining pages, for me, it was an emotional read, because you mentioned earlier that a particular character dies in this, and here's your spoiler: is that it's Janet.
Yeah,
Janet passes away, and that's devastating for him. And he, during the book, is writing letters to his deceased wife or girlfriend at the time or whatever.
Jesus, that's really heavy.
It is, but man, this is such a fucking good read. And I might be my bias towards What If comics, but this is a solid pickup for anyone who was a fan of What Ifs or Marvel or Ultron or Ant-Man or whatever. This is a solid pickup.
You want to know one of the things I always liked about the What Ifs is that they were always good introductions to a character.
That's part of the reason why I'm so obsessed with them, because when I started reading comics, this was my introduction to all these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the B-level characters.
That's how I found out about Doctor Strange. That was my first What If, was the What If...
Something about Damaru and...
Yeah.
What if he didn't become the Mystic Arts Master?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, I remember that.
Actually. And Dormammu, that's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it... I always say Damaru.
Yeah.
Dormammu.
Dormammu. Yeah. Anyway, well, cool.
Cool, man. You got a bonus issue for
us? I do. This one is, while there was some emotion in this, I don't think it was quite as it's not going to tear you up quite as much as your last book sounds like. I've got another number one.
we got a four of a kind today.
Yeah, this is Caliban number one, and it's from Avatar, created and written by Garth Ennis. Covers and interior work. Now here's some new names that are new to me, and so I apologize because I'm probably going to screw these up bad. Facundo Percio, and inks by Sebastian Cabral, colors by Hernan Cabrera, and letters by Kurt Hathaway. I'm pretty sure I got the last one right, though.
Yes. But pretty safe.
This is a futuristic space story where you have this ship called the Caliban, which is traveling through outer space, and they're basically just mining things, everything from metals to water. And that's what all these different ships do, is they go around and then they take all the stuff back to Earth, which they kind of refer to as a cloudy tumor at this point because it's years and years. But
do they give an idea of what it's just in the future, or do they actually associate a time to it?
You know, I don't think there really was any time that I remember in here. It's just,
okay.
You know, and actually they may have mentioned something, but I, off the top of my head, I don't remember what it was. The basic premise is this. They use warp drive, and they're more or less doing time-space travel. Like, I mean, they can't actually go back in time, but, like, they're warping and using black holes. So they're somehow outside the time-space continuum, which kind of ties into your what-if and time travel and all that. The interesting part is that all of a sudden in this book, and this is what the whole premise of it is, but this isn't the main catch for me, but they in the middle of warp drive, more or less hit something, because it's some mysterious alien ship that they were occupying the same space as, and now their ship, the Caliban, has kind of fused with this alien ship.
So this is an instance where the cover does an excellent job of kind of describing what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, yeah,
it's funny.
I got the wraparound cover, and actually, Kevin, kind of here's the one big splash page where you can see their ship is fused with this alien craft. The thing that really caught me on this was Garth Ennis's writing, and in particular, you have one of the crew members on this, and she's basically writing her own. It's her own journal. It's a diary. It could be, an autobiography, whatever it may be. But the writing that she's putting in this is just really beautiful. It's just very descriptive, very good look at what's going on around them, and it's they're talking about how space travel. Most of the people that are on these ships, they have to put them, like, in stasis. They call them sleepers. Because they can't stand looking out at that vastness of nothing. Because it drives people insane. And even the people that are the captains and pilots of these ships, they go through all these different tests. And she says in here, no matter how good the tests are, it's not 100% satisfactory. But there's a line in here, where she's talking about it, and she says, none of them can say for sure who can watch physics going crazy and decide it just might be hell. And that's the kind of writing in this book from Ennis that really sucked me into the story. Garth Ennis is kind of known for, having things be a little bit on the violent side, and in this one it's not, but it may be in future issues. I mean, there's a little bit of blood, but there's nothing gory in here. The artwork from Percio is really nice, and I got to tell you, the inks and the colors from Cabral and Cabrera, I think, are what really set his work off, the colors in particular. So, overall, really enjoyable book. It's kind of a different premise on here, and while you have that setup of, there's aliens, shit's going to go crazy, I think, based on everything I know of Garth Ennis's writing, it's going to be, that's the backdrop for good character study, which he excels at. And so, you know, I think it's going to be worth picking up. I don't know if this, or if the last book, Dead Letters, if those are ongoing series or not, or if they're going to be miniseries. But I'm going to keep reading them both.
Dead Letters is that a four-part?
I think it is, but I couldn't find anything. You
know, I thought I saw on Comixology, but I might be getting it mixed up with the Fields.
Yeah, and I think it is, because that's normally how Boom runs things. Is they'll do a short run,
sure.
And then they'll do another short run, and then they'll do another short run. You know, I think so. I'm assuming, but anyway, that pretty much wraps it up for Off the Shelf for us. Which, surprisingly enough, you know, we
fucking teamwork, man.
That was a weak ass high five, but
dude,
we're really white.
It can't get any whiter than me.
Yeah, that is true. You're almost translucent.
You know what we should do after that? Let's talk more comic books.
Should we talk more comic books, or should we talk news?
It just sounds like you're done with talking about comic books now.
Oh, no. No, there's more comics to come. Let's do a little news.
That sounds like the very whitest thing we could have possibly said.
What you talking about? Actually, before we go to news, let's do a little best on tap for our best cover of the week. Which this week we had Black Widow number 5.
Which talks about comics.
Yeah. Well, that's all we really talk about. It's all comic related, yeah.
No, man. We were both on the same page on this one.
Well, it's on the cover.
No, we were totally on with this, because we had a small list of things, and
yeah.
this was on the top of both of our lists. Now, who's on the cover?
Phil Noto.
Okay.
Yeah, Phil Noto does covers and interiors on this, and the crazy thing with Noto is that he does pencils, inks, and colors, everything himself. You know, and just an amazingly impressive artist, but boy, I mean it looks like, I mean, I would love to have this as a huge poster hanging up on my wall. But yeah, it's got the Black Widow running away from an airplane that looks like it's going to crash into her. I don't think she's that fast. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Maybe the plane is very far away.
And it's really, really big, so it looks like it's closer.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Objects on this cover are not as close as they appear. All right, let's do a little news. This week was a bitch for news, because there was that little day called April Fool's Day.
Oh, dude, that's all that seemed that was going on was April Fool's jokery.
Yeah. So
what was your favorite of the day?
No particular one, but a few of my top ones were there, and I don't know where it started, but there was a hoax running around that Fox agreed to sell the rights of X-Men and Fantastic Four back to Disney, who owns Marvel.
Now where did that start? Because I could see someone just saying that on just random AB website, whatever. But who brought that out there?
I have no idea. I just saw it running all over the place.
Really? Really? Yeah. That'd be awesome if it actually started with started at Fox. Or started with Sony. That'd be hilarious if that was the case.
Yeah. The other one that... this is the reason why I tried to stay off the internet on the first was shit like Netflix saying that they were going to bring Firefly back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of in the same way that they did with... what was that other... That other show that kind of got big for a while.
What, Arrested Development?
Yes, yeah. You're kind of in that same fashion.
Okay, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, the Arrested Development, with that show being picked up, anything's possible now, because I honestly didn't think that show was going to make its comeback, because a few of those stars are bigger now.
Yeah.
And could they afford them?
Right. Yeah.
But this is anything with Firefly. Can now Nathan Fillion's big,
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, everybody's got their own shit going on, but boy, I mean, you want to talk about pissing people off.
Sure.
Fuck with Firefly, and people get upset quick.
Well, people were fucked with the Walking Dead.
Oh,
did,
yeah.
Did you see that? You saw that cover.
That actually, I think, was probably my favorite, if there was one, and that was the cover with showing Daryl Dixon, the character played by Norman Reedus, on the TV show, that they're introducing him into the comic.
And you know, it was I knew exactly what this was, because I don't read the comic, but I knew enough between the two that I know he's not in the comic, so that was pretty funny.
Well, and I guess what's even better is that people that are true fans of the comic should have caught on that it was a modified version of issue number 98's cover. Which, I mean, that's
recent memory. That's not even a year ago.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing... How long have they been doing? 2 months now?
Yeah. Yeah, for like the last almost 6 months.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. I mean, well, and maybe it's 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it may be, but... It's still close, and if you're that big of a fan of the book, you'd think that you would remember. But anyway, yeah, that was actually a good one.
Yeah. Now there was another one that was kind of cool and ties into another article that we read this week. Was the fake DC Comics
survey? Yeah. Well, there was a real survey that went out, but there was one that was modified to go out, which. You know, when you first start reading it, and actually the first time in, I was like, oh, okay, like this is a real thing, you know, because it's like, you know, there's questions in here about, you know, I feel I do the best work for my company, my editor understands my work process, you know, and then as you get down in there a way, you know, it says, sometimes I find it hard to follow the notes so close to deadline. And then, you know, sometimes I find it hard to follow the notes when they are given to me after the comic has been published.
You know, I think Batman's penis is too large.
Yeah. I'm concerned that Burbank is a trap. That's question 26. But then 27 is, no, not like Admiral Akbar, more like the Sarlacc pit. But then 28 is, I'm concerned that less people in LA will get my Star Wars references. You know, that was actually kind of fun. You know, but there's some interesting things in here. This does lead into an interesting thing from Yannick Paquette, who, you know, we've met a handful of times.
Yep.
Got to do a really fun interview with him a year and a half ago. Fantastic guy. And basically what he did was, after he filled out his survey from them, and I saw this article on Bleeding Cool, and he basically talks about how the colorist needs to get more credit than they do, and also needs to get a portion of any royalties, you know, that could be coming in. I thought that was fantastic that he actually did that. He's standing up for people, and there was something in here, you know, that where he had a quote, and he said, "All of my effort as the artist would be insignificant without the care and talent of my most pivotal collaborator, the colorist."
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, black and white is cool and all. It is, but you need colors. You need the pages to come alive.
Yeah.
And often the warmth of colors can help contribute to the story.
Well, I mean, especially, you know, I mean, because he's very well known for doing... Swamp Thing, and with True. That, I
yeah,
mean,
say, Swamp Thing would be pretty boring if he wasn't green.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that's kind of an interesting little thing. Speaking of royalties, the Jack Kirby case.
Oh.
No, pay up, Kevin. Without your color commentary, my artistic reviews would be nothing. So you got a deal. The Jack Kirby case may not be over. And I'm not going to dwell on this one, but it looks like Jack Kirby's heirs are trying to get it to go to the Supreme Court. And so it's unlikely that it will go, but it could.
Yeah.
So it's there. I'm not going to go any farther.
You know, it's easy for me to commentate. on this is to tell them, like, man, just give up, man. You're gonna get out lawyered all day. And, you know, and I think their case is a little weak, but you know what? If they're doing this for the honor and memory of their the father or and him all together, then that's really cool, totally respectable. But if this is just a cash grab, and I kind of gotta shake my head at it a little bit, but really going back, this is a lost cause, man. I think you're gonna get out-lawyered, and I don't think you're gonna get a bunch of guys in jackets, black jackets, to agree with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I've said it before, for me, as on a personal level, I think that he should have royalties on all this. But then,
sure.
But if he signed a contract for work for hire, I hate to say it, but dude, he signed a contract for work for hire. I don't know what he did or didn't do, but anyway, so yeah.
It's, well, dude, it's back then. It was probably a handshake and a shot of bourbon.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like I don't know if we talked about it on this show or if it was on, when I was on An Elegant Weapon, or if it was just something I was having a conversation with somebody off air with, you know, if you're working for Apple and you create a new version of the iPad that goes out and revolutionizes everything in the industry, do you get royalties or do you just get your paycheck because you're an employee of Apple and you're creating products for them? It's, you know, it's a similar thing.
Sure.
It's analogy-wise, but...
Sure, and you know what? And your employer, hopefully, he... I wouldn't be surprised if he, like, that was the case. Like, he actually got some, you know, some money placed in his back pocket for doing a good job, thinking that was going to be it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Hey, that's what I expect. If I do something awesome at work, that's all I would ever hope for.
Yeah.
Is just a little bit of something extra.
Yep. Movie news. Marvel.
Dude, this cover was awesome.
The Bloomberg Business Week.
Which no one ever says ever about Bloomberg Business
Week. Maybe this should have been best on tap.
It could have. What are the word bubbles? You know what? I didn't look that close. What do the word bubbles say?
I didn't look that close either, and I can't quite make them out on here, so... But yeah, the Business Week hammer of vertical integration, and that's Thor's comment.
This is so worth it.
Yeah, Cap saying, "Take care of our boy, Iger."
Okay, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Do you have to be smart to understand that one? Iron Man saying, "Everyone knows I'm Elon Musk, right?" Do you understand that one? And Hulk says, "Grr."
yeah, this is okay. The cover is pretty cool because you have the Avengers on an issue of Bloomberg Business Week magazine, yeah. Which actually to me sounds like a fascinating read.
By the way, Hawkeye and Black Widow don't get to say anything, just like the movie. So,
did you read this entire article?
No,
I read the vast majority of it, and it was a great read.
The one thing that jumped out to me, which is why I wanted to bring it up, and I will go back and read this whole thing, is that Marvel has their movies planned out, at least a timeline, through 2028, which will put me in my 50s. That's the scariest part about the whole fucking thing. I'm like, wait, what?
Damn. So for those who are anxiously awaiting their Jubilee movie... Get your wish.
It might be there. Yeah. But yeah, go check out Bloomberg Business Week, and you can find out more about that yourself. Other movie news that we had was Toby Kebbell, I think I'm saying his name right, is going to play Dr. Doom. And I don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know who...
You don't know who Dr. Doom is?
I don't know. He's some guy with stretchy arms.
Yeah.
I don't. Even though we've mentioned the previous cast members in the previous podcast, I still don't know who any of these characters are. or the actors are.
The only one I know is the guy that's playing Johnny Storm, and we're talking about the Fantastic Four movie if you guys are not up on your Marvel stuff. But the guy playing Johnny Storm is Michael Jordan Jr. Or something like that, or
I think
it's Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, he had a middle initial.
And he was in Chronicle, and he was fantastic in that movie. So
yeah.
He's the only guy I know that's on the cast. So
yeah, but you know what? This is exactly what I've been clamoring for with comic book titles. Just get some new actors, whatever. Don't go for the known
actors.
That's my only issue with like Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah.
Not that Ben Affleck played a bad Daredevil, or he had some questionable acting roles in the past. That's just my only beef with that.
You know, actually, now that you mention it, one of the things that I think I'm most excited about Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and X-Men is that there's no Sam Jackson, Nick Fury in those movies.
What's your problem with them?
I don't like Sam Jackson as Nick Fury.
Really?
Is it because too
big of an actor?
It's because Sam Jackson is Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson is not a character.
But you know what? I think Sam Jackson is a versatile actor, and he can do whatever. Like, I really enjoyed him. You didn't see the latest RoboCop movie, but
not yet.
But he was a TV commentator. Kind of like a Bill O'Reilly or something like that. And he did a nice job on that. I didn't think of him as Sam Jackson. I thought of him as that role. I don't know. I respectfully disagree, sir. No, but I understand with some people. But are you going now? Are you going to still check out Captain America?
Absolutely, yeah.
He's in it.
Yeah, I know you will be. But, yeah. While we're on the Marvel thing, Marvel is coming out with a new Deathlok solo comic book. So, yay.
I really don't know much about Deathlok.
I don't know who's going to read it.
And I did say Deathlok. you're pulling up the picture. That's the exact picture I always think of.
Yeah.
Of him. But can you give me a 2-second crash course on who the fuck he is?
He's a cyborg time traveler.
Oh, okay, so he's like a
Terminator.
Like, it's a Cable. Cable or Bishop, but with more mechanical parts.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, it's. I don't know a ton about Deathlok. I mean, just because I never really cared. Although I will say Nathan Edmondson and Mike Perkins are doing the story on this, and so I might pick it up just to see, but I don't know. That we'll see what happens.
Because of the tie-in to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah. And this is coming out in June, so we'll see then. Some other books that are coming out. We've got Dark Horse announced a new trilogy from Mike Mignola, and it's it is Baltimore, The Witch of Harju. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know anything, but I know about, like much about this, the Mignola-verse. But it's, you know, for those that are super excited about his work, which I understand why, but I didn't get into it soon enough, and I'm trying to catch up, and there's just such a large volume of work out there that I think I might just grab this and pick it up and give it a shot. And that's coming out here, I think, in the next few months, if I remember correctly.
July
or something like that.
Now, another book that I thought was seemed to have an interesting premise was a book called Bodies.
Yep.
Murder mystery series announced by DC Comics.
Yep, coming from Vertigo, right?
Yeah, definitely. This is definitely going to be a Vertigo joint, written by Cy Spencer.
Well, and there's four different artists on the book, and what was it? Was it a 4-issue miniseries?
Yeah.
Okay. And each book was going to be divided up into like 6-page chapters, spanning different decades, like late 1800s, mid 1900s, current time, and then the future, like 2050. Mm-hmm. And it was 4 detectives basically solving murders that had the exact same premise and MO and all that, just in different time spans. So, pretty cool idea.
Yeah, I really, really dig that. And it's coming out in July, so not much of a wait for it.
And once again, Kevin, a miniseries, so you know you aren't going to be stuck forever.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I think that pretty much is going to wrap it up here for us on our news this week.
Yeah.
So let's move on here, shall we?
What are we doing next? I'm kind of anxious to talk about this one right here.
Well, let's hold on.
Getting the jitters.
I know. Let's do a little. We haven't done one of these in a while. We got a bar back segment here for you, real quick. Kickstarter. If you guys go on Kickstarter and look up The Dead. Excuse me. Wow, I'm getting hiccups already today. Look up The Dead. It's an indie horror comic by James Maddox. Now, I had the pleasure of meeting James last year at Motor City. And the book here, I'll just give you a real quick breakdown, is that the simple version is The Dead is a comic series that brings the tale of what happens after you die. And it's kind of like this house with all these different adjoining rooms, and everybody that's dead's all hanging out there. But obviously, it's a horror comic, so it's not going to be happy and fun.
Must be one big house.
It's a very big house. Our house is a very, 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 very large house. House. Yeah. but yeah, the cool thing with this Kickstarter project now, as of the day that this podcast releases, there's going to be 17 days left to go. They've already hit their goal. They had a $4,000 goal. They blew by it a few days ago. So the great thing is you can go on here and pledge whatever you want to pledge, and you know that you're going to get your reward because you don't have to question whether or not there's going to be enough people on there. There's some really awesome things. It's going to be, I think, a 170-page book if I saw on here. So, you know, I think for $25, you can get, you know, volume one of the trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
170-page book. For $25, that's not a bad deal at all.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah. You know, plus there's other things that come in there, like the PDFs and stuff. By the way, this was written by James Maddox, and it's art by Jen Hickman. And really, really nice looking art on here. There were a couple other ones that I wanted to point out that I really liked. At the $200 level, there's 8 of these left as of the time of recording, where you can get a commission. For an 11x17 commission by Jen Hickman on there, as well as, you know, the book and all that stuff. So, they've got stuff going all the way up to a grand. If you wanted to, you know, back that much on them, you could. And they have stuff as little as a dollar. So, go check out Kickstarter, The Dead, an indie horror comic. And I think you guys will enjoy it. We'll also toss a link up on our
our
website for this, too. So, all right, Kevin. Now you can be excited.
Oh, okay, cool.
Time for a little indie turnpike?
Yeah, definitely. And
before we jump in,
my
Indie Turnpike is brought to you by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment, located in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And if you're anywhere in the 616 universe, you should check it out.
I look forward to my next trip down there. I haven't been there in 6 months.
I was
plus?
Just going to say 6 or 8. Yeah, yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time since I've been there.
All right, so this is something that we both picked up.
Yeah, you know, and I had no idea this was coming out when I just roll up to the area where the new comic books are, and I see Cena Grace.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, yoink.
Yeah.
Pick this up. Previously, I know the most familiar thing I know he's done is a great book called Not My Bag.
Yep.
And that was excellent. Well, excellent. So
and he's the artist on Will the Breast Boy. And then he also did that 3-issue miniseries called Burn the Orphanage, which I spoke so highly about. And Cena's become a really good friend of our show, and you know, he's this book is kind of a compilation of stories. And this is a one shot, so.
Yeah, oh, and it's called Self-Obsessed, by the way.
Self-Obsessed, yeah.
We'll eventually tell people what the title is.
Yeah, so Self-Obsessed by Sina Grace. And this is a chunky monkey. You know, it's $3.99, and this is a thick-ass book.
You know, I didn't even know, not until I started reading it, like, wow, there's a lot here.
There's a lot of pages.
$3.99, one shot. I'm like, wow, this is just a value alone. This is exactly what I love in comic books.
Yeah, and the reason that I wanted to bring this one up for Indie Turnpike is because this really, to me, epitomizes what creator-owned type stuff can be.
All day.
Because this is not your normal comic book. This is not a cast of characters set in some crazy situation and this and that. No, it's called Self-Obsessed because Sina is actually the main person, you know, in this comic. And it's a compilation of little strips that he did while he was in high school, in college, and then growing up through his life. And it's interesting to me because basically you get to see different times in his life, dealing with friends, dealing with family, and it's short little one-page stories or a couple-page stories, and boy, does this tell you a lot about him as a person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he does such a wonderful job talking about life experiences, and it's a fascinating read for myself, I'd say, because it's very relatable.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what he goes through, like, wow, I went through that. Very similar.
Well, and the thing that, you know, I mean, it's like I touched on it. Yeah, you find out a lot about who he is as a person, but I think as you read this, you will find out a lot about who you are as a person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to make you look back at certain moments in your own life, and this is one of the most introspective books I've probably ever read, because not only is he, like, he's opening up and he's sharing situations with him, and you learn that this is how he deals with his emotion and dealing with events in his life, is he draws things out. And, you know, there's a neat correlation in here where he's talking about, had I been a musician, would all of this gone into song rather onto paper? And I thought that was kind of a neat way of doing it. I think probably the best way that I can explain this is that this is like watching somebody else's life open up in front of you. But in this case, it felt as if I was seeing all of it from inside Sina Grace's head and using his eyes as a window to the world all around us.
If that
makes any sense at all.
No, it really does. Wow, that's deep.
Well, you know, you read a book like this and it makes you smarter. So, I mean, and there's a range of emotions in here, from things that are going to make you laugh and giggle to things that are going to make you go, wow, yeah, I mean, like that hits home. I really can't explain it. It's a black and white book. You know, Sina's artwork is one of the most unique and stylistic things out there.
Well, it's funny is that he actually calls himself out towards the beginning where it seems like he's calling himself out in his drawings about how somebody else called him out because your art isn't as sharp as it should be.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, I was thinking of it that Self-Obsessed was maybe a little self-inflicted at times as far as guilt and not being happy. But it's cool because Sina shows you the path that he took from early on to where he is now. And you can see the progression of how he has become the amazing, you know, comic creator and artist and writer that he is. You see the steps. You see the work that he put in to get to where he is, and it's impressive as hell. So, Kevin, I know that we were talking a little bit. There was something in particular that you said.
Okay, so there's two things that really stood out to me as completely enjoyable in this book. The first one was just a minor page where he talks about how I wish my breakups went.
Oh God, that was awesome,
dude. That was the funniest part here. I'm not gonna explain it because it's not gonna translate well over the recording. But this part right here made me bust out laughing because it's so true.
Yeah,
that's how exactly you wish breakups went.
Yeah, it's never like oh, okay. No. All right. Well, hey, cool.
No, but the other part that I really thought, that, again, something very relatable was the
smorgasbord. Yeah, the amalgamation of all of his friends into one person, basically.
Yeah. Well, but also, kind of like the appearance of it also took on the because it was prior. There was Sex in the City. Was mentioned prior to it, so I'm just looking at Sarah Jessica Parker's nose.
Yeah, well, and he even has a little thing in here about how he loves Sarah Jessica Parker. And actually, if you haven't read Burn the Orphanage, actually Sarah Jessica Parker is drawn in there.
Really?
Yeah. Because he's a little obsessed.
Oh, that's cool.
But you know, he calls himself out on it.
No, but the details about the smorgasbord and about how it relates to friends and other acquaintances you have in your life is absolutely spot on. Everyone has one of these.
One or more.
Of these people that they know in their lives, and this is wonderfully done.
Yeah, it's, and I tell you what, you know, I mean, the cool thing with this book is, I mean, I sat down and I read all of it in one sitting. And it took me the majority of my lunch hour, which, you know, because...
Yeah, I had... it was two sit-down sessions for myself. Yeah,
but the nice thing is that the way it's written is not only can you stop at little sections and come back if you had to, because of the way that it's written, it actually called me to come back and read it a second time. Which not a lot of books do, just because of the sheer volume of books that I do read.
Sure, the time is limited.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean it's kind of a good life lesson book, you know, if you will. So definitely go pick that up. I know that my shop sold out.
Yeah,
really quick.
Yeah, like, I was there 5 o'clock right after work, and it was the last copy that was on my shelf.
Well, yeah, Tony and I were there late morning, and yeah, we got the last two copies.
Yeah, you guys are there as they're unboxing that shit, aren't you?
Well, some days, but you know. But yeah, this week, like, we got there. It was late morning, maybe lunchtime or whatever it was, and yeah, it was last two copies on the shelf.
Nice.
You know, and because I'd forgotten to ask them to put it in my poll, so... all right, well, that does it for Indie Turnpike, and so, yeah, go check this book out, Self-Obsessed by Cena Grace from Image Comics. Kevin?
All right. Man, home stretch now, man.
Yeah, we're probably running really long, but whatever.
Yeah, you know. Whatever, man. Dude, this is so much fun today, just kicking it with
you. We're going back to our roots. Oh. spilling beer almost.
Oh, I'm not going to... Yeah. They're still recording.
Yeah.
We're good.
all right, so glad I got the tripod on the little handheld recorder today.
Yeah, nice.
That saved us. okay. Got a little booze in a book for you here. And this week, I've got Punisher number 4, which, Kevin, you actually had...
This was on my list for Best on Tap week.
Yeah, Best on Tap, Best Cover. And so I got Punisher number 4 here from Marvel, and this was written by Nathan Edmondson and drawn by Mitch Gerards on here. And actually, I'm kind of curious, because one of the problems I had with this book here a while back, oh good, they did actually get it. There's actually a title page in here that credits people, because it was like issue 2 or 3 or 1 or whatever. There was one of them that there was no credits page.
What? It wasn't even relegated to, like, the opening page?
No,
where...
there was nothing. But anyway, so this I'm pairing with an all-day IPA from Founders, which Founders Brewing is here in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, but Founders is, you know, they're in, I think, over 28 states now?
Yep, And
huge distribution.
Yeah. And this is an American IPA. It's got a 4.7 alcohol by volume. And I'm not a big IPA guy. I think I've probably bitched about it here on the show that I think my problem with IPAs is that they're overly hoppy.
And, yeah, there's some bitterness to it. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not really a big pale ale guy, kind of guy.
But this one, the thing I like about it is it's very aromatic to where it's not, like, gross. Like, it actually smells fresh and clean. And Kevin's sniffing my beer now. But, you know, there's more aroma. It's not overly bitter. And I just like it. And I think this fits with the Punisher because this is an IPA that I could drink all day. And the Punisher's a book that I could read all day. So go grab your beer and your book and sit back and have some fun with it. So now that you tasted it, what'd you think?
I wish I had the Trial of the Punisher to reread.
You wish you had the rest of the day to drink this beer and read that book? All right. What do we got for last call here, Kevin? You got any books left?
Yeah, you know, the only one I'm really going to mention is Action Comics number 30, which is the prelude to Doomsday. Or not Doomsday, but Doomed, which is going to be bringing back Doomsday, you know, the big, huge powerhouse that killed Superman back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a prelude to where it all kicks off in Superman Wonder Woman number 7. So I'm really stoked. This kind of gives me a small little taste for a book that I've probably raved about several times over.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked about that.
Pretty cover on there too, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Inhuman number 1 came out, written by Charles Soule and drawn by a name that I can never properly pronounce, but he's more commonly known as Joe Mad, and it's Madariera, I think I'm saying it right. Colors by Marty Garcia.
So, I had my hand on this. I saw Charles Soule. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna pick this up. And then, like, you know what? I got these other books. I gotta pick up.
For somebody like me who does not know a ton about the Inhumans,
okay,
this was a good entry level place to start. Okay. So I liked it. Veil number 2 came out. Black Science number 5 came out. Trillium finally ended up here with number 8.
Finally ended?
I was getting a little lost at the end. And
okay.
It's one of the guys at Fanfare Sports and Entertainment, I think, put it best that this book will probably be better read as a compilation than individual issues. Which I'm going to go back and reread the whole thing.
Okay.
And I think it will really open up a lot more that second time through. But it was good. I'm not disappointed by any means. Magneto number 2. This is probably the Marvel book to read right now, in my opinion. And then Apocalypse Al number 3 of 4 was quite fun, especially if you don't necessarily like theme parks that may or may not be known as the happiest place on earth.
That looks like on the cover of Apocalypse Al. It almost looks like a very mean and bulked up Howard the Duck.
It's actually a very mean and bulked up Daffy Duck. Yeah. So,
that's fun.
Yeah. But I tell you what, the one thing I got to say about this week, some fantastic fucking books this week. There really were. I mean, like, especially for me, Self-Obsessed and Dead Letters. Man, I mean, those are two awesome fucking books that I'm still stoked about. And now I'm just going to go walk up to random people at the bar and tell them about it.
And then they're going to look at you and be like, can I get you something to drink, sir?
Well, as if we already haven't gotten enough odd looks by the fact that we're sitting here recording our podcast in the bar, taking our comic books out.
There's a sports event going on in the background, and some people here for that are just like,
yeah.
What are these guys with their funny books?
Yeah, well, you know, and And I think there was a birthday party in here at one point.
Yeah,
so hopefully the noise wasn't too bad for you guys. I know I could hear it was getting a little loud at some points, but I tried to talk over people.
And that's why I'm basically making out with the mic right now. Tongue back in your mouth. What the fuck?
All right, I think that's going to have to do it for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, dude. Oh, guys, thank you for listening to our show. You got to check us out on the Twitter.
On Facebook.
You just look us up, Drunk on Comics.
Yep.
And then check us out on the website, of course. Please, drunkoncomics.com.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how you're listening to this right now, but...
But we have options for you.
We do. You can get it right from our website, drunkoncomics.com. You can get it from iTunes, and you can get it from Stitcher. So, you know, whatever your needs are, we're here for you. And if you like us, go write us a review on iTunes. And I don't know if you can write them on Stitcher, but if you can, do there too.
Yeah, so. Do that. All right. Well, thanks everybody for checking us out, and we'll be back next week to talk about more funny books.
Yeah, keep reading your books, peeps. All right, let's go get another beer.
All right.